Sasqua is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. For more information, visit sasquatch.com. This is Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot, and I am one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove, and I'm joined by my pal, Mark Matsky.
Greetings.
And tonight, we are talking about books about Bigfoot. Now, this is something we had actually already recorded, but due to a technical snafu, it was lost into the ether. So we are redoing it, and hopefully this time I will have a bit more to say than last time, which would be a good thing.
And I'll have a little bit less.
We need you, actually. You're our learned scholar, our learned Bigfoot scholar. So we need you to talk about your vast repertoire of books.
Oh, my.
That I'm sure you've read.
All right.
I've seen pictures of your shelves, Mark, so I know what's going on in there.
Did you see I positioned my Lizard Man?
I did see that.
Book on the shelf behind me?
I did. And hopefully, at this point in time, the Lyle Blackburn interview has already dropped, so hopefully by now everyone will have already listened.
Excellent.
Yeah. And also, by now, the t-shirt pre-sales have ended, and hopefully you ordered a shirt, because you may not get one. And in case you want to check on those Sasquatch t-shirts, go to grassmangear.com. How have you been, Mark?
Been good. Been real good. We did, my son and I are in a barbershop group locally, and we had our big show at the end of September, and that was a lot of fun. We saluted America's veterans. If you were a veteran, you got to get in the show for free, and so we had between 70 and 80 veterans show up with their families, and it was a really special event to be a part of, so that was fun. Andy got to do a little tap dance, and I sang a solo, and it was all patriotic and good feeling.
Awesome. Andy, yeah. Andy did a fantastic job with his dance routine. I saw that. It was incredible, like a young Fred Astaire.
Cool. Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that, because that was his inspiration for getting into tap in the first place, was the old Astaire Rogers movies.
Mm-hmm. We sort of now they start in a
binge-watched those.
Right?
And what's that?
They did a Bigfoot movie, right? Astaire and Rogers.
Oh, yeah, they did. And it's, you know,
it's right on the tip of my tongue. I can't quite remember the title.
Right. I think they buried it in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Astaire never wanted anyone to see it.
Bloody murderous rampage of Bigfoot, I think it was called.
On the Ritz.
Yeah. All right. So, as I said, tonight's episode is about books. And we had put out a Facebook status a few weeks ago, back on September 1st, so over a month ago at this point when you're hearing this, and some of our listeners had responded, and basically Mark put the post up and said, what's your favorite Bigfoot book? And some of you responded. These are some of your responses. Jean said, Recasting Bigfoot by... Do you know how to say that guy's name? Gian?
No. Wait. I've always wondered how it's
pronounced.
So we're
just going to call him Quasar, because Quasar is a Marvel character. Chad Doris, have you read Recasting Bigfoot?
Yes.
You have? Of course you have.
I have. I have the book, yeah.
What's it? Is this the one where the guy kind of... Tell me what this is about, because I think I've heard an interview with the author.
Yeah. Well, it's been about 3 years or so, but it's... It gets into the tracks and the casts from around Bluff Creek. I think he's saying that a whole, you know, almost all of those were fake, and that you know, I don't know. This is the dark recesses of memory at this point, but it's something about that Sasquatch is really just another Indian tribe.
Okay,
is sort of the idea that I. The impression I have of what that is about. Maybe I may have misrepresented that entirely, but that's what I seem to remember from it.
Yeah.
I have to dig it back out.
All right, I'll go give that one a read. Chad Doris said Bigfoot Prints by Krantz is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
This is one I need to read. It's on the laundry list of books about Bigfoot that I've not yet read. I'm assuming you've read this.
Yeah.
Good one.
I have.
Okay.
It is good.
All right.
It is good. I mean, you get the whole sense of Krantz. His personality comes through loud and clear. Mm-hmm.
Jesse Morgan came across with Julius by Sid Hoff. Keep it light. classic Jesse on that one. Mark DeWorth, Apes Among Us by John Green. That's mm-hmm. a classic, which I have not yet read because I've been too busy pouring through the On the Track of the Sasquatch and Encounters with Bigfoot. Those are the names that I was trying to remember last week. Talk about that later in the show.
Right.
Corey Bauhey said The Locals by Tom Powell. Juan mm-hmm. Antonio Gutierrez said Nothing Comes Remotely Close to Apes Among Us. And Debbie Weaver Klein said Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us. So it seems like most of our listeners are big John Green fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly understandable.
Yep, with good reason.
Yep. So let's move into our lists. We're going to go back and forth, kind of talk about some of the Bigfoot books we've read. I don't think we're saying that these are like the best or like essential reading necessarily, but maybe just books that we've read about the subject that we happen to enjoy a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll keep it as our favorites. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
So not trying to weigh the significance necessarily
right.
of each.
Right. I like it. I'm in. Why don't you start us off?
Okay. I will continue the thread that you've already heard so far, and that is Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us by John Green. The one thing that I really wanted to say about that is Green was a journalist by trade, and he brought a level of writing to the subject, and you and I have talked about this before, but he brought a level of writing style and substance to the table that really... It set the bar pretty high, and it's still the standard, I think, by which other Bigfoot books are measured.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become something that's important to me, and I know it's important to you, is not just what does the book say, but how does it say it? In other words, the style and the flow of the book, not to mention just basic rules of syntax and grammar, you would kind of like for those to be followed, and it's disappointing when a good book is marred by some obvious things that should have been caught in the proofreading stage.
Yeah, definitely.
So, John Green is so good. He's such a good writer, and I've mentioned in the past the chapter that he has about Ivan Marks. That's just one example of what a great writer he was. I mean, he just takes a chapter out of his book to talk about this very complex figure that Ivan Marks was, and it's just so readable and so good, and you really see that character through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, well-written, probably the most well-written of all Sasquatch books, just from a literary standpoint.
Okay. All right, I'm going to contradict you later in the show. Of course, ooh. I haven't read Sasquatch the Apes Among Us, so
mm-hmm.
I'm talking out of my butt. I'm going to talk about...
Bigfoot does that, too.
I think he does. Bigfoot, The True Story of Apes in America by Lauren Coleman. This was one of the first Bigfoot books I read when I really got gung-ho into Bigfoot again. And this is one of my favorites. I think it does a very nice job of giving an overview of the topic. I know whenever someone who might be new to the subject asks me what a book is that they should read, I always suggest Bigfoot, The True Story of Apes in America. And it's not that I don't think the John Green stuff is great, because I do. I just think that I haven't read Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us, but I think this book very concisely boils down the history up until modern times of Bigfoot lore. And I think Coleman's such a good writer. Say what you will about him, you know, in social media and stuff. I know a lot of people argue with him back and forth, but I think this book just does such a nice job of introducing someone new to the subject to the subject. And, you know, there's some unique chapters in here, and some of the subject matter is very unique as well. We've talked about that on previous episodes. But this is one of the best, I think. This is actually one of the ones that I typically, you know, recommend.
Yeah. Well, you said it. It's amazingly concise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he crams a lot into just a normal-sized paperback, and it is very well done. Going back through it, I was really kind of surprised by the number of sort of sacred cow, Bigfoot milestones that he was not afraid to look at through pretty skeptical glasses, mm-hmm. which I thought was healthy, a good approach on his part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of a Coleman guy, so I would definitely recommend that book, too.
Have you read his True Life Encounters in Cryptozoology, the Tom Slick book?
Yes.
Okay, that's another really good one. I'm not going to highlight it, but I wanted to give it a mention.
Definitely. Well, I'll go on here with another book that came up on the Facebook page, and that is The Locals by Tom Powell. I think that he came along with a really thoughtful approach. He advocates an openness in research that is important, but you get the sense that that's not normally happening anywhere, what he's advocating. But be that as it may, I mean, Tom Powell's a science teacher. That's his day job, and he brings that kind of demeanor to the book. In fact, in the appendix, there's even a section on how to teach the scientific method using the Bigfoot hypothesis, which is fascinating in and of itself. And there's just some really good accounts in this book, one of which details his email back and forth between someone who claims to work for the government and a Bigfoot allegedly came out of the woods severely burned in this wildfire and was given treatment and taken off somewhere to some facility, presumably, to be continue to be worked on and things like that. And that's not a story that I had heard ever before reading this book. So I always love it when a book gives me accounts that I haven't come across before. And The Locals definitely does that.
I've read parts of The Locals. For some reason, I've never made it the whole way through. But it is I think it's a good one, especially now. It's kind of one of the modern classics. I think a lot of people consider it. He gets into some of the like psychic stuff, too, doesn't he? Kind of the stuff that I avoid.
Well, not to the degree that you would get from a 70s paperback.
Okay.
That I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But he really is more level-headed. He's just willing to say more of a non-committal, like, I don't know,
okay,
that it is or isn't. But he's not really saying that that's what he really thinks is going on. He tends to describe Sasquatch as sort of ninja-like. Mm-hmm. And I think you can read into that some kind of hyper-intelligence, but I don't think he's necessarily going in a psychic direction, per se.
All right. I want to talk about Where Bigfoot Walks by Robert Michael Pyle. Is that right? I don't have the book in front of me. I think that's his name.
It's the right names. I'm not sure.
I mean, I might be it might be Michael Robert Pyle or...
Yeah, it might
Pyle
be.
Robert. Anyway, Where Bigfoot Walks. I just finished this one, and I think it is, personally, it's my favorite, or not my favorite, but probably one of my top three favorite Bigfoot-related books. I think it's so well-written and eloquently told. It's about Bigfoot, but it's as much about Bigfoot as it is about hiking and conservation and the deteriorating forest out in the Pacific Northwest, at least when the book was written. And I just think it's such a well-done book, especially compared to some of the others I've read on the subject. And again, it isn't necessarily a big, you know, it's not John Green. It's not recounting stories, you know, like campfire stories about Bigfoot encounters, but that's one of the reasons I liked it so much. Some of the stuff he has to say about Bigfoot, it really rings true to me. There's a line when he says that, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says that maybe people search for Bigfoot because they actually want to be him. And I thought that was such a... So many of these people that go out looking for Bigfoot, you could definitely see that. Like, they might be someone mm-hmm. who wants to be living alone in the wild. you know, right. naked and running around after dark screaming.
Well, doesn't he say in that book that he likes to walk around barefoot in the woods himself?
Yes.
Was that a thing that he brought up?
Yeah. I think that was in that same area, actually, of the book.
Okay.
Just a really well done book. And it is, you know, I don't know how in agreement I am with him on conservation stuff, but I definitely, you know, that stuff about the disappearing wilderness really rang true. And I just thought it was such a beautiful book. And again, I could give this to almost anyone to read. You don't necessarily have to be into Bigfoot to read this one, but it just happens to be called Where Bigfoot Walks.
See, you make me want to read this book again in a major way, because my problem is I read that book at the wrong time in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I read it when what I really wanted was a bunch of
Bigfoot
you know, Ape Canyon type stories.
Right.
And that book is not that at all.
Not at all.
I think I would enjoy it a lot more now than I did then.
Well, it was
but that was the problem, and you nailed it. It's just that it's not really trying to give you accounts. It's a much more of a philosophical approach.
It was exactly what I wanted to when I read it, because I wanted to read a book. I wasn't necessarily in the mood for Bigfoot, but I wanted something that had Bigfoot involved in some way, and this was that.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned 70s Bigfoot, and one of my favorite paperback Bigfoot books from that era is simply entitled Bigfoot, and the authors are B.N. Slate and Alan Berry. And the thing that I love so much about this particular book is that it was my first exposure to what has come to be known as the Sierra Sounds. Alan Berry was a reporter, and he made the acquaintance of some of the guys who were in that camping party that had the Sierra Sounds experiences. And what ended up happening is he actually was invited to come to the camp and experienced, while it was happening in real time, the recording of some of those sounds. And so you get the most detailed, and I haven't read Ron Moorhead's book, so I want to be careful to say that, but this is the most detailed account that I've ever seen of what that camp was like and what they really experienced up there. And it was my first exposure to, you know, reading accounts about Bigfoot sounds and tree knocking, and all that stuff really came to me exclusively through the reading of this book. So there's this, the way that those sound accounts sort of taper off is, you know, Alan Berry claims that it really sounded like one of the big Sasquatches was almost singing a mournful song or like a dirge. And it was as if one of the Bigfoot that frequented that camp had died. That's just the emotional reaction he had to what he was hearing. And after that, the sightings and the interactions basically stopped. So that first chapter alone, the whole book is worth it just to read that. I'm just really amazed by the whole thing. Then from that point on, the book does veer into, you know, a lot of the psychic angle stuff that characterized a lot of the mid-70s reports. And Barry himself gets into in the second chapter, consulting with psychics and ESP experts to try to get a read on what Sasquatch was thinking when he came around the camp. So, you know, it's this whole mixed bag of stuff. It gets into subterranean sounds and stuff around Mount Shasta and all these wild territories.
Ant but people.
To me, that first chapter is just gold, because it puts you in the blind that those guys were in when they were hearing all of those vocalizations that most everyone has heard at this point.
Yeah. I need to read that book. I think I would enjoy it. I love that 70s. I love the 70s take on things. We were talking about that while we were out in Minerva over the weekend. We were talking about In Search Of, but just that something about that gritty 70s feel, I just really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The Beast of Boggy Creek by Lyle Blackburn, who we'll have on the show later tonight. This was one of the earlier books that I read when I got into this. Well, I read it 2 years ago, I think, or whenever it first came out. That was when I read it. And I had never seen Boggy Creek, and I still absolutely adored this book. it kept my attention start to finish. I think I read the whole thing in probably two or three nights. It's just such a concise view of this one series of incidences. And it, I gotta say, this book inspired me to do some of the things I'm doing today with my own, you know, look into the Bigfoot subject. Some of the blog posts that I put up about small town monsters and that kind of thing. It's all inspired by this, I think, because mm-hmm. Reading this inspired me to look into, you know, local reports and local flaps, especially. And, I just think Lyle did such a great job of looking at the behind the scenes of the movie. You get everything here. It's like, it's looking at the making of the movie and the actual occurrences that inspired the movie and some of the behind the scenes stories. You know, it's just so many different things all rolled up into one. And it's still this great cryptozoology Bigfoot book, you know, this, you know, similar to the Coleman book or the Green books. I don't know how he did it. It's, mm-hmm. it's an unbelievable job. And he did the same thing again with Lizard Man. I mean, there was no movie right. there, but I still think, mm-hmm. I think Lizard Man is every bit as strong as Beast of Boggy Creek, and I don't think it's necessarily separated from the Bigfoot subject, because there's definitely some Bigfooty angles to the Lizard Man book. But mm-hmm. and I'm not just putting this on here because Lyle's agreed to come on the show. I really do adore this book. I have a poster for it, actually, which I need to hang. So this is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would be comfortable saying that Lyle Blackburn is the heir apparent to John Green as far as well-written Bigfoot books that just flow. There's a logical approach to how he handles topics, and it's just a pleasure to read.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear you say that you say Lizard Man is just as strong. I agree. In fact, I enjoyed reading Lizard Man more than Boggy Creek because I had done some research into Boggy Creek before the book came out to write a little article of my own for a fanzine. Mm-hmm. So in Lizard Man, he was telling me a whole bunch of stuff that I had no clue about.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Lizard Man thing really was unknown to me. And then when he released the book, it was awesome because here's this obscure, not very well-known case, and all this great digging that he went and found it himself. And that's another part of the books I like, is that he's not just pulling stuff off of the internet. He goes there and, mm-hmm. and talks to people, and that's, I really like that approach.
Yeah, me too. Very investigative.
Yep. Well, let's see. Lizard Man, we talked a little bit about that. I do want to quickly mention the Bigfoot Casebook by Janet and Colin Board. This came out, I believe, in the early 80s. And the thing that I liked about this, especially when it was first released, is that this was the first book that I had seen that really assembled Bigfoot sightings from all over the country in a chronological sort of way and grouped them essentially by decade and tried to draw some common denominators between those sightings within the particular decade. And at the time, it had a number of illustrations that I had never seen before. So that was pretty exciting. And it's held up over time. Of course, it's been revised at least once or twice that I can think of. But that's a really... The weird thing that's been pointed about that book, though, and then I don't know why this is, but none of the Bluff Creek stuff is in there.
Hmm.
So you'd have to ask the boards.
Yeah.
Why not? But
it's odd.
Yeah.
And I know I've read this. This was one of the ones I read. I think the case book I read back in... Oh, my gosh. I mean, this was like when I first gained any sort of interest in it. Back in late 90s, I think I read this. Because this thing's been around for a while, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read this way mm-hmm. back. Yeah, it's a good one. I want to mention Chad Arment's Historical Bigfoot. It's just a collection of Bigfoot stories, purported possible Bigfoot stories that appeared in newspapers, articles that appeared in newspapers, collected in one place. It's probably a couple hundred of them. And there's no original writing really, other than probably the introduction. And he goes out of the way to state he isn't necessarily saying these are Bigfoot. He's just, you know, putting together all the ape and wild man sightings in one place. And I like that because it's something that I'm interested in, especially. And it's a really handy reference guide too. And honestly, if you want to, if you get in an argument with someone and they're like, you know, Bigfoot is just this modern myth created in the '50s, by Ray Wallace, you can pull this out and say, well, no, not really. There's been, you know, hairy, upright man beast stories that go back decades and centuries even. So it's a great book, historical Bigfoot. That one you'll have to go to Amazon to find. I think it's a little indie book. It's published through a small press. So, but it's a good one. Chad Arment wrote that one, and that was suggested to me by Mark DeWorth. So,
same author has a book simply entitled Cryptozoology. Have you seen that?
I've seen it. I haven't read it.
Yeah. It's very good. It's more of him, obviously, than the historical Bigfoot that's just presenting the cases, but it's definitely worth a read.
He seems very prolific. Great job with that. He's done a lot of different books about a lot of different subjects.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got
one book that I really, really like. And again, this just gets into personal preference and stuff that excites the imagination, but it's Stan Gordon's Silent Invasion, and it's really his big book so far, where he details a flap that took place in Pennsylvania in 1973, and this gets into some of the most bizarre Bigfoot accounts and reports that you'll ever encounter. It has one of the most famous of the weirdest stories, which has to do with it's a combination of a UFO landing and an illuminated sphere on the ground and two Bigfoot creatures walking along a fence line. And then one of the eyewitnesses sort of flips out and starts talking about apocalyptic matters. Mm. It's just this swirl of weirdness. And that's one of the main reasons that I like it. It, you know, definitely falls into that high strangeness category. And Stan Gordon's approach, which I totally respect, is to just say, these are the reports that came in. We investigated them. Where we were able to obtain evidence, we did. And you can decide for yourself what you think actually took place. It's just utterly bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun read in that respect. You just have to shake your head and say, what in the world was going on in Pennsylvania back then?
Yeah. Yeah. As bizarre as this book is, I actually do have a desire to read it at some point, because it seems very unique, especially in the world of Bigfootery. Let me get my John Green kick in here. John Green, the best of the Sasquatch Bigfoot. My dear, lovely wife bought me this for Christmas last year. She had to do some intense searching, I think, to find it. But it's kind of a magazine-sized book, but it collects On the Track of the Sasquatch and Encounters with Bigfoot, which are two John Green books. And if you want one of those, like we were talking about, with the collection of Bigfoot stories, you know, your typical Bigfoot informational-style book, this is a great one. And especially if you want something with that kind of old school retro vibe to it, because this was from the 70s. And John Green, like you said early on, is a great writer. And he's very good at just dueling out information in a digestible way that is, you know, not overwhelming. It's a very entertaining read. You could probably pour through this thing and read it in a night. But it's a great book. And it's kind of an odd format. I don't know if they published this thing in a regular-sized hardcover or trade paperback at any point, but this magazine size is definitely unique. But this is one of my favorite Bigfoot books that I own, and I can see what all the rage over John Green's writing is about. I hope to read Apes Among Us sometime in the next few months here.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us one more, and we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, since we do have at least a handful of kids that listen, there's a couple of Bigfoot books that are geared right at children that I'll just give very quick honorable mention to.
Yeah.
One is called In Search of Sasquatch by Kelly Milner Halls, and that's a fairly recent book, and you'll see personalities in that book like Tom Yamarone, Cliff Berrickman, excellent illustrations and just walks through the young reader and lets them know, you know, kind of the in a very good way, sort of the current state of Bigfoot research, and it's very well done. The other is actually the Finding Bigfoot book companion, because that is really, it's done in the same vein as In Search of Sasquatch, and it does a really good job, I think, for, again, for the young reader, of hitting the high points and what are the historically significant cases. And, you know, after reading that, I think anyone would have a pretty fair command of both sides of the argument, pro and con, you know, exists, doesn't exist, or skeptical. Those are just both great choices for any younger reader and interested person who is looking to get a quick sketch on the subject.
Awesome. Okay, so we are wrapping up this episode. There are a ton of awesome Bigfoot books out there. There's also a handful, a landmine full of awful Bigfoot books out there, so proceed with caution. But hopefully, if you haven't read many of them, this will get you started. And that's all we wanted to do here, was kind of give you a primer for some good books about Bigfoot. So we'll return next week with another episode. And you can find us on facebook.com/sasquatch. Head over there and give us a like. And thanks for listening. Join the conversation at facebook.com/sasquatch. Find us on Twitter by using the hashtag sasquatch, or you can find me on Twitter at Seth Breeds Love. Mark Matsky is on Twitter at Reverend Matsky. Send your letters to sasquatchmail@gmail.com and leave us a rating and review on iTunes.